Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church, Enugu.
Be ungrateful. We will always be full of thanksgiving. We will always be full of thanks. Lord, we bless your name for the work you are doing in our lives. Father, we thank you for the work you are doing in our lives, for your love overflowing in our heart. Thank you, Lord, for you are helping us increase and grow in capacity. We're increasing in grace. We're increasing in power. We're increasing in love. We're increasing in the testimony of Jesus. We're increasing in the knowledge of God's word. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. We praise your name, Father. We praise your name, Father. We give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are working in us. You are building us up. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus be praised forevermore. In the name of Jesus. You are a good God. You are a good God. Again, we ask that you speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we've come to listen to you. Nothing else more but to listen to you. Lord, to fellowship with you. Our hearts are open, Lord. Teach us today. Lord, stir our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For today, your word for us today, we receive it in the name of Jesus. Blessed be God forevermore. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Hallelujah. Come on, celebrate somebody. Celebrate Hill City too. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. All the time. God is good. Amen. Are you tired of saying all the time? God is good. All the time. Amen. Hallelujah. You're welcome to church. I'm happy to see every one of you. Thank you. Those that are joining us online, thank you for being in this service. I know that God has begun to do his work, what he proposed for this service. He's doing it. And you will not be left out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, is it group five or group eight? Group eight, right? Okay, so group eight were the groups that, you know, I was thinking that maybe I'll have one or two people who will come and do the recite the Bible verses when we did our Bible challenge, the book of Isaiah. I was so blessed that I had a group who said, all of us will do it together. I mean, so we had more people being able to recite it. You know, there's something about hearing something and at least giving the effort to learn it. There are people that didn't even care. Don't disturb me. You didn't say it, but you acted it. Praise the Lord. So when there are opportunities for us to grow, I just want to encourage us, leverage on it, and learn. Amen. So group eight memorized the five Bible verses that we shared from the book of Isaiah. And I had promised to give a gift to the group. So I got some books here for the group. So these are three different books. Two, I had people are six, right? So it's two each. That is three books, but they are two the same. So I'm hoping that all of you will get to read the three of them. Do you understand? And who finishes first, I owe you another book. Who? Just one person can come and pick for the rest of it. Your leader is not here, right? God bless you. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much for putting in the effort. The Lord bless and honor all of you. Amen. Hallelujah. I was not here last weekend. Let me see your hand. I was not here. I was not. Not. Even the people that did not come, you are lying in the church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't want us to catch you. Well, I'll still come and stay here. Media, play it for them. Play everything. Hallelujah. But you see, thank God for media. Thank God for technology. So We saw it in the family page, right? I think they are still on it, but many of them are already out. Even if you were here, I promise you, you did not hear everything. Much less the people that are not here. You have to listen 5 times. Praise the Lord. You know, when you are present, there is the anointing to understand. You know, just the corporate anointing you will understand. So you listen and listen again. Please download it and listen. As you are listening, write. Note things down. Amen. That's how we grow. Truly, that's how we grow. And for a people who are set to journey with Jesus in a new phase of life, it's so important that we give attention to these things. Give attention to them. Give attention to them. You know, while we're praying in that weekend, I think it was on the Saturday morning after when Pastor Courage was ministering, and I just had this vision of, it felt like a head. You know how a head, there will be an accident or something, but then the head was being bandaged all over, and then a part of it was left open. A part of the bandaged head was left open. I was wondering, I was asking, what is this? Naturally, who wants to have accidents? But that was not it. That was far from it. And the Lord was saying to me, the part of you, the part of our lives that are bandaged, Jesus is the bandage. The part of us that he has shielded is a safe part. So listen, this part of you that you have completely handed over to the doctor, you've completely handed over to Jesus, is the safe part. The one you are holding for yourself is unsafe. That's the place you've left for flies to come and perch. And that alone can corrupt the entire head. Amen? So what does he say to you? That part you are holding back, that part you are managing by yourself, now is the time to do what? Hand it over. Hand it all over. Because the more you are keeping it to yourself, the more you're exposing it to disaster. And that part is you exposing your entire self. Hallelujah. So Jesus wants total surrender. Total surrender. Total surrender. Born again on the head, born again in the legs, born again head to toe, every part of your life, every part of your body. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we've gotten used to being in church that it feels like a ritual, just have to be in church. And then we're out of there, we're living our lives. That's not the case. Amen. What you do out there is now, that's where you go to live the life of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to share that with us, that every part of you, you think about it. You know what part. You don't intentionally say, I'm holding this part back. But you're not surrendering it either. You know, there's been a years as a Christian, you still have anger issues. You still harbor unforgiveness. You still have that bitterness in your heart. You still, you know, you're still not being a giver. There are things in your life you still talk. You just still talk carelessly. Those are parts you need to hand over to God. Those are parts you need to say, Lord, please take it. I'm not going to be saying this part, leave Bible. Amen. You know, there are people like that. There are parts of their life you thought, you say, see, even Bible says heaven helps those that help themselves. You've not heard it before. Is it in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? Okay, I've not seen it, Toby. If you see it, come and show me. But we say those things to help us act recklessly. When you are in Rome, you behave like Roman. So when we're in church, we do church things. Now we're in the street. We're meaning business. Do you understand that? Those are words from the pit of hell. Should not escape from the mouth of anybody that is in TCC. Amen? Hallelujah. Because we are setting the pace. We teach how to say. We teach people how to talk. So this month, journey with Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I've been very emotional. I've been teary just thinking about just looking at scriptures and just seeing how men walked with God. How men walked with God. JD's testimony so blessed me in that, you know, when we said our year of fruitfulness, we had that trying to make it clear that it's all round. Sometimes when you say year of fruitfulness, there's a tendency of staying in one trajectory. This is it.
But more than that is our spiritual life, your emotions, everything that pertains to you, then to your womb too. And you know what I'm talking about. Your finances all around. So when we stand and say, I've grown in capacity because God has helped me so far, taking away, pruned me, taking away these things that would have made me to be, you know, be anxious or act otherwise. He has taken it away and given me a, you know, put me, how the Bible says it like this, take you out of a miry clay and put your feet on what? The rock to stay. Otherwise, you will have been shaken, but you are standing. So there's been a journey. And if I were to listen to everybody, when I heard two testimonies, I said, no, we have more than that. We have more than that. We're just sharing two. Praise the Lord. Seriously, if we're to take testimonies of, take account of how far the Lord has brought us from January, you will see that you have moved. You have moved. There is the confidence in who you are in Christ Jesus. There is an increase in your understanding on who you are in Christ Jesus. There is that movement that has happened. There's that shift that has happened in our heart. And I'm so blessed by that. Hallelujah. So I was saying, you know, the topic for today is a man like Enoch. A man as Enoch. Reading his story kept making me teary because I was... When you read through scriptures, Genesis chapter 5 verse 22, if you will put that up for me, New King James Version. And if you read because that whole chapter started, is a genealogy of Adam, amen? The Bible was writing on the genealogy of Adam, and it kept saying, what you will see there that is peculiar, is that he kept saying that this man begot at this age, are you with me? At this age, so-so person begot so-so person. And after this begotten, you now see that, okay, this person that begot this person had sons, had daughters, and after that, he tells you what next, and he died. Just go to 21, maybe, let me just give you, so you understand what I'm saying. Okay, no, go up a bit, please. Go up a bit again. Go up a bit. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Now, 18. It says, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. Next. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So if you read from verse 1, this is the pattern. This person begot this person. All the days of Jared were this, and he died. You see that is how... You will just see it, then go down, 21. It now says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Go on. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. This is different. This is the only account from the beginning to the end that is different. Because he could have just said he had these children, this number of children, and he died. But then he came to Enoch and said, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. This is the same thing we use as an excuse now. We say when you get married and have a child, I mean, your walk with God kind of slows down. Say amen. You've not heard that. We say to young people, now that you're young, of course, in scripture, serve the Lord while you're in your youth. But then we make it feel like as soon as you get married and you have children, you are old. Amen? You're looking at me funny. Are you old? Even if you're old, we are fruitful, full of sap. Hallelujah, full of sap. It was at 80 that Kenan was still feeling like, what's his name? Caleb, thank you. Was still feeling like he was when he was 40. 80. Was it 120? 80, right? I don't think it was 120. Amen? He was still feeling like he just started. Glory to God. Full of energy. So let's not have that mindset too. We're getting younger. Amen? After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. So see why this blessed me now. Blessed me basically is that this is a generation was being talked about. And he came to a point and he paused and put him out. Put him on focus for you and I to see. I believe that Enoch's life typified what we now have as rapture. You know, it shows us what rapture would look like. If people who so walked with God, they were taken off of this earth. Hallelujah. Go ahead, verse 23. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, because God took him. Because God took him. I could imagine people looking for Enoch. They were just, where is he? Where is our daddy? Methuselah, have you seen daddy today? I have not. Go and look for him in his prayer room. Maybe he's there. No, he's not there. Did he go to farm today? I don't know. Go look for him everywhere. And he just, as if he was never there. God just took him. And when I was visiting my husband, I said, this Enoch, he gets a life bill. So my husband was like, that's why they make the joke that he was working with God and so walked to this and then we have walked too far. Let's just go do what? Let's depart. Let's move into the other place. Now, the way I really want us to look at this is journeying with God or working with God in a busy generation. In this busy generation, in this loud generation. The truth is that it has always been distracting. And if you looked at it, it said, even after he had Methuselah and he began to walk with God, he still had other sons and daughters. And yet, he walked with God. He walked with God. His heart was in sync with God every time, every day. And I said to ask myself, how can we get there? How can we become a people who God can say, every time I go to this person, I know he's in sync. He's waiting on me. Every time I get to this person, I know that this person is there tiring, is there waiting on me. This one is in sync. You see, what I realize is that the biggest victory a believer in this age will have is over distraction. Not over sin. Our biggest warfare is not the devil. It's not. It's not now. Will be devil. It's not even part of what we are. It's not in the equation. Our biggest warfare should be against distraction. Everything that fights your sitting down and staying with God. Everything that comes against it. For some of us, your phone is your biggest enemy. If you don't have a phone, you will have been the biggest prophet. You will have been doing exploit. I'm being honest. Because it's now the weapon fashioned against many of us in this generation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what was meant to enhance good, to enhance our productivity, has now become the very thing that's not even letting you step out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. Amos 3:3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? So if we're going to journey with God, the first step to it is agreeing with God in everything. In everything. In everything. I mean in everything. Most times, agreeing with God in everything is a challenge for many people. We want to have our own way. We want to do things the way it seems right, the way it's more comfortable. We want to come to church the days that we are in the mood to be in church. You know, want to pray when we're in the mood to pray. We want to, you know, give thanks when we're happy, when we are in the mood to give thanks. I just took the time to look at the lives of all of these ministers, all of these apostles. See, none of them had it easy. None of them had a life that is free from troubles. None of them had a life that is free from life wahala. Not one. Not one. Not one. Not one. Not one. But you see men that tarried, a man like John Hyde, you read his story, he prayed till his heart shifted. Medically, they confirmed, the doctors checked. The intensity with which he tarried in the place of prayer, his heart literally shifted. Why? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Think about it. Doesn't have another work to do? Can't he just pray some casually? Can't he just, what would have happened? Look at the life of the apostles. I was wondering, if Jesus left and there was nobody to do the works Jesus did, can you imagine that? Jesus left and there was no one to do the works he did. Pray like he did. Do miracles like he did. One thing that is heavy in my heart, I don't want my children and my children's children, if Jesus tarries, to grow and still be talking about the great works of these fathers of old, and nothing is being said of me. We have those beautiful examples. When I give it, we are all charged up. But when are we going to begin to make our own examples? When are we going to become the examples that those that are coming up will give? When are we going to rise? Because it's the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same power. It's the same Jesus. It's the same Holy Ghost. As he was with them, he's still with you. He's still with me. He's still with us today. Well, you see, there is no impact without that journey. There is no doing without the being. Our minds are in the doing so much, but not so much in the being. When we plan our lives, and by the way, that planning of our lives, if you're a believer, it is bound to fail. You see your, what they call it? Something ambition. What ambition? Future ambition, but don't throw it away. If your future ambition is, how you are going to, just go and put it in the shelf somewhere. What future ambition did Jesus have? What was Jesus' ambition? The will of the Father. You see what I realize? If we can spend time with the Lord every day, you'll be fulfilling your purpose in life. You'll be fulfilling your purpose. You will be, that your future ambition. You will just see that thing is babash. It's nothing. It's so small. 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 See, God is calling us to more. He's calling us to more. There is so much that we can do. You look around and you see a lot of people, every day they are the same way. Now, I'm not talking about believers. I'm saying we come to church and we enjoy fellowship with God and we go back to our houses. But then you look around you and you see people who are littered all over the place. Tomorrow you come and see them the same way. The next day you see them the same, yes, year after year. They are the same way. And believers are just happy, loving their Jesus. For this reason, he died. Why did John Hyde was talking about, what was he praying about? The revival of a city, the souls of men. He wasn't praying for his car, his rent, his child. He wasn't praying for anything personal. He was praying that the Lord would give him the city. He was praying that this city, the souls would be saved in the city. That revival would break out in the city. That is it. He prayed so intensely it affected his mortal body. We read about John Wesley, so prayed, his kneecaps dug a hole on the ground. And we just say it and say, wow, wow, wow. And then we move on. But you see, if you never started, nothing will be said about you. You see, somebody was saying yesterday when I went to minister that there are people that just existing on earth. They are neither causing trouble, they are neither solving problems. Praise the Lord. You know, when somebody is causing wahala, you know that the person is there. Not so. At least you know him for his problems. When you don't see problems, you're like, where is this? Make another call person. Where is this wahala? I mean, let's just call him wahala. Where is this wahala guy? Because you miss his presence. At least he's living for something, isn't he? Well, you see, there are people who, whether they are there or not, you know not. You don't notice that they are there. You're just rolling every day. The day, nothing, you're not causing problems, you're not solving anything. But you are a problem solver. You are a life giver. There is something different about you. You have the Holy Ghost on your inside. Not Junior Holy Spirit. You have the very Holy Ghost living on your inside. The question is, when are we going to start to just sit and pay attention to what he wants to say and what he will have us do? A man like Noah, the world where he was in, you see that in Genesis chapter 6. It was a corrupt age. It was a corrupt age. The way we say our world is corrupt now, the Bible said to us that we have a reference point, a precedent. Noah was living in a corrupt age. God was contemplating destroying the world, but there was a man. There was a man that he could say, this one has found grace in my sight because he's pleasing me. He's doing things that are pleasing to me. So I can say, in this world that is so corrupt, so loud, so busy, a man is set to do only what pleases me. He was the only one that was saved in that age, in that generation. He was the only one that was saved. He could have been doing other things. He could have been, you know, rolling with the crowd. He could have been. But God looked at him and said, the Bible says of Noah, he said he was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked with God. Can it be said of you that you are blameless among the people of this time? Can it be said of us that we are blameless among the people of this time? Or have we, you know, just, anything goes. Let's just do what we can and can what we can, can what we do. Oh, Father. There is the agreeing with God that has to happen. I was saying that from Amos 3:3. If you looked at the life of Enoch, you would notice, even Noah, like I just mentioned, the Bible does not say that they walked for God, or that they were talking about God, or that they knew about God. He said they walked with God. You see, walking for God in church is beautiful. We encourage you to do that. But much more than that, you must come to the point where you walk with God. It is not, pastor, be doing the walking. Let's be doing the working for. Okay, pastor, be doing the working with. Let's be doing the working for. No. All of us are children of God. He has called us and set us on different assignments, on peculiar assignments. And to achieve that, you must be a person working with God. Hallelujah. So don't say, every day I'm in church, I have to do this. That's beautiful. But be a person who has this intense fellowship with God daily. Ongoing intimacy, steady progress. I was saying to somebody, somebody was telling me something, and I said, building this consistency we are talking about, with God. So I said to him, if you are building a house, there's the, even while we're working on this place, there are times we had to break down something that has been done and then do it again. If you are building consistency in anything, the problem that we usually encounter is that when you fail, you quit. You now say, I can't do it. I've been trying. Every time I say, I'll be praying 10 minutes a day. For 2 days, I didn't even pray. So I just left it. No. When you are building something, you will fail at it. When you are building, there are mistakes that will happen. That is why it is building
commitment. Do you understand? So you put a wall. Oh, there's a crack. You crack it or you remove it, and then you put another one. You don't give up on it. Well, this wall has been falling. Let me just give up on it. It is building. What do? The next 5 days when you now wake up, you do again. The next day you wake up, you do again. The next day, if you are not building, if it is not building, we'll just say you are committed. Right? You'll not be saying, I'm trying to build. If you are building commitment, just have in your mind that there will be days you will fail. Please, make up your mind that that will happen. And then make up your mind to continue when you fail. Hallelujah. The only time you finally fail is when you now give up. But as long as you wake up every day, you show up. You show up. You show up. You show up. Before you realize it, it's no longer with effort. If you don't do it, something is missing in your day. Something is missing in your day. How did a man start like this? He heard about God. He learned about God. He learned about God and he desired to know more about God. So every day he will show up. I'm just imagining Enoch sitting down. Ah, God, just this thing that you did in this I've heard this story in Eden. Just tell me about this, about what really happened in that place. He's asking God. And God is gisting him. Is that so? They were having that conversation every day. He was so intrigued with learning about God that he showed up every day. He was so, wow, this God did that, being this. He would just be looking forward to his time with God. So when your time with God is just about what you have to ask of him, that's the reason you will not show up the next moment. Because after I've asked him, it's not even one. Let's leave it. But if you are appearing before him because there is a desire, there's a longing to know him. See, even if you've experienced prayers upon prayers that were not answered, why don't we make the attempt of, God, I want to even understand why you that they say don't ask, that you always answer prayers, why you don't answer this one? It's a reason for you to even draw closer to God. Lord, can I even know you? So I will understand why you don't answer this one. Do you understand? Instead of being a reason why you pull away, it's the very reason why, can I even know this God that said answered prayers? What intrigues you about God? What excites you about God? What about God do you love? What about God do you love? Do you just like the idea of being in church? I mean, what in God? Why do you love God? Why do you say you love God? Why do you say I love God? Why do you say, oh, God is good to me? What does that really mean to you? If you love the person and the person hardly pays attention to you, or if somebody claims they love you and they hardly pay attention to you, what would you feel like? What will it be like for you? People are just answering small. Oh, yeah, they're serious. You. About let your hearing, but say it's over. Go. Glory to God. See, nobody likes, you know, when I'm telling you I like you and I don't give you any attention. See, you will not take me seriously. You will not. And very soon, you will look for people that really like you that are not even saying it. Glory to God. You will just look for. So what am I saying in essence? God has been extending his heart to you, extending his hand to you, has been expressing his love for you. How are you reciprocating? How are you taking on his hands? How are you loving him back? He says to you, talk to this person. You are aware that this person is smoking. You are more concerned about how they'll smoke into your nose than talking to that person. You know, there are people you see, you say, Lord, send laborers. Me, you know where I have, you choose your own harvest. I said, Lord, don't worry, I'm going not. But this person, send laborers. Ha, Lord, be sending laborers. Be sending laborers. Even when he's saying go, no, that can be God. Lord, send laborers.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, Enoch's consistency. So, Bible says he walked with God for 300 years. 300 years. 300 years. 300 years. So many Christians can't even walk with God for 30 days. Hallelujah. We can't even, you know, give your heart to it. Some of us, the commitment you made last 2 months that failed somewhere, that's where you left it. You have forgotten and left it there. You have left it there. You told God, Lord, every day by 6 a.m., I'm on again. Me and you, we're praying. That's how I'm going to be. I want to know you. So 6 every day, I'll be awake, seated. The first day, wow, what a day. Powerful. Why have I not been doing this all my life? My God. Have you felt like that before? The next day you show up. Yesterday was marvelous. Today too. You sat there. Third day, you were there. And then fourth day, you woke up by 6:20. Satan. Leave Satan. Sit there. Even if it's the remaining 10 minutes, sit down there. Do that 10 minutes. Do the 10 minutes. See, God knows that you are doing, you want it. He knows you are desiring it. Don't pull yourself down because you failed. No, sit down there and do it. The next day, show up again. Exactly. Don't give up. Wake up to it again. I say, we do it again. But because we go again. Because that's 2 months ago, you couldn't, you know, the next day you wake up late. Even the next day, you didn't even wake up at all. It's your alarm for work that woke you up. And I say, this is not for me. Bah, that's not it. We were singing today, nations are waiting. Leave that thing. People, even the big men that we call, they prayed, slept while praying. Do you not understand? The men, we say, prayed intensely. At some times, they slept praying. But what kept them going? They woke up the next day. Lord, give me or I die. They prayed and sleep, and they woke up praying. No, you're not the first, sweetheart, that slept while you are praying. So just wake up and do what? Continue. That's what? Building consistency. You said you're going to finish 2 books in 1 month. How far now? So the first book you even opened, you are still in chapter 2. 3 months have passed. And now you have given up. Let's go back. You are not alone. No. It's not just you. If we start, if all of us start saying what we have committed to that we have left, you see that it's not just you. So I'm just encouraging you. Please go back to the book. Leave the 2 books in 1 month. Just say one book in 1 month first. Let's start there. Or say 1 chapter a day. Read the chapter. Go and do other things. Every day, make sure you read that 1 chapter. And if you don't meet up, the next day, continue the previous chapter. Nothing is spoiling. Continue. You are building something. You are building something. When it spoils, is that we've given up. You now close the book. The year has finished. You didn't even bother. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Enoch walked with God 300 years. That's powerful, isn't it? So see, I'm going to walk with God. I'm walking with God. I'm walking with God. I'm walking with God. Say it intentionally. I'm walking with God. I'm not giving up. I'm walking with God. I rise from where I've fallen. And I'm walking with God. I'm walking with God. No more delays. I'm walking with God. No more complacency. I'm walking with God. I'm paying attention. I'm doing what he says. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're walking with God. So yes, we agree with God on every ground. The truth is that if there is any part of your life you're not agreeing with God, you can't walk with God on that path. If there's any part of your life that you don't agree, that part of your life will be lacking. Amen. It's just the way it is. Any part of your life you're saying, Lord, I don't agree, let it just be. That part will be lacking. So we give to God everything. So in the world that is obsessed with speed, God values consistency.
God values consistency. Our culture today, we celebrate speed. What we call success is that, you know, that, you know, now you built a very good house, you've bought the next 10 cars, you've bought airplane, all of that as success. But the one that is daily pouring the life of Jesus into others is not succeeding. That one is not succeeding. Only a waste of time. Praise the Lord. But the good news is that God is not a man. He is the judge of all flesh. He's the one that has said, this is your success. This is your success. He's the one that has a yardstick. You know, well, what they call, when you're writing an exam, there's a sheet. He's the one that has a marking scheme. If you can't be running my race and expect to have my score. You didn't get that. God has put a path before you. You had better be running on it. There are people that there is a speed. You are running in speed in the wrong direction. Hello? You are running with speed in the wrong direction. God, every day you know in your heart there's that thing God has set burning in your heart. Why are you letting a life follow? You want to be like everybody else? No, you can't be. You can't be. You can't be. So don't let the world celebrate your success and God isn't. Don't let people say you are doing well and God doesn't think so. And God does not think so. Let it be that God is the one that is defining, oh, that my son is doing well. He's doing well. So Enoch so walked with God, he couldn't see death. You see, I realize that intimacy with God shields you from the corruption of this world. It shields you from the corruption of this world. You can't be corrupted if you daily you are appearing before God. He shields you. He wasn't trying to please everybody. Enoch was not trying to please his family, please everybody. He wasn't trying to do any of that. Of course, he wasn't perfect. Oh, he wasn't perfect. But he was consistent. Do you know why I know that? It's not that he had this perfect life, no mistakes, no errors. Look at the life of Elijah. Elijah was a man who walked with God, and at points he felt like all hell had been let loose on him because a woman was after his life. You remember the story? You know, when I say you remember the story, it used to make me, I want to now go and read the story. You know why? When I was serving, I stayed briefly in the Redeemed Church of God family house. So I was attending the church. So I was in the church that day, and this man of God was preaching. I'm preaching. Honestly, I can't even remember what he was preaching about that day. When I talked about this story, he was, you know, I was getting interested in the story, and he said, you know the story. And then he moved on. I'm like, wow, I don't know it. Share it. I didn't know the story. And I was like, what did I do? Share this story. Now, why are you saying you know the story? No, I don't know it. Say it. And he never did. He moved on because in his mind, his church people know the story. Praise the Lord. You know, one of these not so popular stories that are in the scriptures was one of that kind of scripture. So when I say you know the story, I'm like, I hope there's nobody that don't know the story. So, but we all know the story, but I don't know it. Okay, we know it. Praise the Lord. Okay, what's the story? So Elijah, anyway, if I told you I lost my line of trust, you believe me, right? So what was I saying? I've left that part. We're now in Elijah. God bless you. So he was walking with God, got to a point where Jezebel was after his life, and because of that, he said he wanted to die. This was a man that had just done exploits, was coming back from killing how many hundreds of Baal's men. He came, and then Jezebel said, Oga, I'm coming after you. You know how you look at somebody and say, see, I'm coming after you. So you know that woman is a tough woman. She get mind. So you know that this person is a prophet of God. You've heard of what she, and you went after the person and say, I'm coming for you. That was why he ran. So if you could hear these tales, if you could hear about me and still threaten me, there's something backing you up. Do you understand? That's why he ran. If it was you, you think about it too. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. He came to a point, the Lord just said to him, see, where are you? God said to look for his beloved prophet. He was hiding. He was afraid for his life. I'm just trying to point out that despite all of that had happened, Elijah didn't see death. He was also translated. So God is not putting touchlight on your errors. He's not putting mistakes on where you faltered. He's just in love with the fact that every day your heart is seeking after him. That's all that is in his heart. This, my daughter, wakes up daily longing for me. So you got busy and things happen, okay? But your heart is longing for God. You were pressed down, but your heart was longing for God. That is what it means to walk with God. It didn't say that there won't be days you faltered. It just means that even in your faltering, your heart is longing for God. You are desiring him even when you are falling. You are desiring him even when you are falling. Think about it. The guy just zapped. With all of that, we say it how he feared and not that we laugh. Oh, chariots of Israel. Ha! He left chariot of fire. God just took him out of the earth. He didn't experience death. Hi. You can just see what is possible walking with God. You can just see what is possible. If you're sleeping, say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know you can stand up when they are preaching, right? Do you know that? No, nobody will beat you. You can do that. If you're feeling sleepy, stand up. Be saying, yes, ma. Preach. Give me energy. Do you understand? Just nobody will know you are asleep, you are chasing. Just stand up and be, you know. Praise the Lord. Because this word of God, we must listen to it. Even if you are nodding, you are listening to it. You will fight the sleep that has been, I don't want to say that has been sent. But sometimes, actually, that is what it seems like. Because every time you open the Bible, that's when you sleep. Just know that something is after your life. Any that time you make that commitment, every hell will be let loose. That's why I told you, don't let them win. That 2 minutes, use it. The word of God is active, is alive, is entering your life, it is entering your body. It is building capacity in you. So tomorrow, you see, you can sit down for 5 more minutes. You're not soaring by your strength. You are soaring by the Spirit. So when your strength fails you, that is when he can do the most. That is when he can do the most. What do you need to do? Make sure your heart is long and stayed on him. Praise the Lord. Why did I go into Elijah? Because I wanted to point out that you don't have to do it all perfectly. Amen. Elijah didn't. Elijah, that's how I know that in Enoch 2, being in this body and in a fallen world, would have faltered one way or the other. However, it didn't interfere with his relationship with God. Scripture still said he walked with God 300 years. These men were translated. They just went before God. We've heard stories too of men who knelt down and they were praying and they translated. They just moved. The difference is that we saw their bodies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Men like Benson and Dahosa, after his ministration, he just sat after a prayer meeting, just sat there and left. Sat down there and left. Do you know, we're not supposed to be having fear of death. We're not supposed to be having fear of death. I was telling my, giving my husband a testimony. I went for a ministration somewhere yesterday. I was coming back at night. And you know how this express now, how it is now one lane. So both everybody going and coming is in one lane. And the people going this way were already three. You know, they are just taking three lines. They left one for the people going. So the one I was in was coming back. And this one was throttling. Just in that one lane that is left, you are still speeding. I don't know whether, you see, I tell people, I say, my, these are our people, we are strong. You see, these are our people, these are our brethren. We are very strong. When we say government, God is just looking at you. I mean, like, if I knock you small knock, you shut up your mouth. Because we do the worst. You see them on the streets running around like headless chickens. Oh my God. The only one lane left, you are still speeding on it. So you want everybody on the lane to run into the bush. I was telling my husband, I can categorically say, that's how I feel about it, that the Lord expanded the road. And the tricycle I was in was able to shift for that guy to pass because it was just one lane. Where he entered, I was thinking that he would just hit that pedestal and move. He didn't hit anything. As he just moved, the human being, I don't know if it's a human being, but let's call him human being. The human being just left. And he didn't hit us. Eternal life is not fragile. No, we can't be wasted on the way. There is a life in us that we have. Only that God wants us to be more conscious of that life. Most times we are more aware of what is happening around us, what is happening in this world, that we don't see that we are in the supernatural, that we are not ordinary. That John will always be trying to explain the new creature to us. That creature, he was always trying to let you understand. You're not just ordinary human being. There is no ordinary with you. With the Holy Ghost, that is why he's calling us to come walk with me. So I can open your eyes to who you are. So you understand that the fears you fear is because you don't know who you are. If it will mean that they will lift that vehicle and take it to the other person, he will do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we must begin to understand the heartbeat of God. This happens when we walk closely with God. We start to carry the heartbeat of the Father. We begin to see the world through his eyes. We begin to see people, walk with people through the eyes of the Lord. We speak the truth unafraid. You know, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I've called you friends. And his friends share his secrets. So he tells his friends what is in his heart. He tells his friends, he shares divine secrets with his friends. Question is, are you being a friend? Are you being a friend? Or are you loving from a distance? Are you loving God from a distance? Or are you walking with him? Are you being a friend? Or are you loving from a distance? So God is saying to us, I'm seeking for Enochs in this generation. I'm longing for Enochs in this generation. Men who with their families, who with their children, who with their busy schedule will walk with me. Every day of their life, they get to walk with God without, you know, please trying to be like everybody else, trying to please men, trying to do what everybody is doing. I'm seeking Enochs in the land today. Everywhere the Lord has planted you, I keep saying, he has sent you there for an assignment. I'm saying to you, in TCC, the Lord gave us a mission to set our world on the right path. You know, what is underlying that is that the only way we can walk on we can set our world on the right path is by walking with God. Hallelujah. It's by journeying with God. You know what he will have you do there. See, there are people that are your colleagues. The only reason why they are colleagues is because you are the one that will get them saved. There are people that are around you. The only reason why you are living in that neighborhood is because that person has to be saved. And you are the one sent there for that assignment. There are people you meet. The only reason you met them was because prayer has been going on and you are the laborer sent to that vineyard. The question is, sometimes after we've discussed the business deal, God bless you, sir. Well done, sir. We move. After you've discussed what is important to you,
you know, what is what you feel like, that's why we came. You just leave it like that. Jesus said, my meat is to do the work of he that has sent me and to finish it. You have been sent. You have been sent. Your meat has to be to do the work of he that has called you to and finish it. Because there's a reward. I always say, if you listen to me a while, you know that I'm usually very excited about that our lives doesn't end here. Oh, it doesn't. Oh, it doesn't. And if you understand that fact, you will live like that. You will have that attitude. I mean, I have to do what I need to do because there's no time. I'm living here. If you're going to travel, you know, you start to, I need to cook. If you're a woman, I need to cook this. I need to stock the freezer. I'm traveling. Do you understand? I'm going to travel in a month. You are planning. You're already planning. Okay, I will need this clothes. I will need to visit this person. I will need to do this. I will need to do that. You are actively doing those things. We are about to travel. We are also planning to travel. Are you not planning with me? So we must walk with that attitude. We must wake up daily knowing that there's work to do because there's no time. We are living. We are moving. But if we don't stay and just listen to God, listen to Jesus, hear what he would have us do, we will be in the wrong places, wasting time. I want to say this. That person or those people you've given up on, please go back to them. Those people God gave you assignment for, you've given up on them, you know, for whatever reason. Please, go back to that person. Go back to that person. Go back to that person. One way, start praying for that person actively. 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 I like to paint that picture. If anything happens to somebody that you're supposed to pray for, somebody you're supposed to stand in the gap for, if something happens to that person, maybe that same thing God told you about was the thing that took the person out, you know, you will not be comfortable. And if peradventure, maybe it's even salvation we're talking about, the person hadn't given their lives to Christ, and you know this person is going to hell. If others are crying, you cry twice. We're not giving up on anybody anymore. We go back to them. If the person can't listen, we talk to one who made them. We keep them in prayers until they listen. But we're not giving up. Hallelujah. We're not giving up. So what do we do? Slow down. Tell your neighbor, slow down. So in this generation, to walk with God, number one, slow down. Slow down in the presence of God. What are the things you are doing? Count them. What are the things keeping you busy? What makes you most tired? What are the things draining you? See, note all of them down. And just slow down. Slow down. Pause. Pause. Take a moment. Pray. You know, there's this thing about, Lord, help me. You see that prayer, you can't pray it too much. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help, Lord, have mercy on me. Please help me, Lord. Pause and say, Lord, I really want to pray. Like Jedi was testifying, I want to pray, but I feel tired. It's easier to lie down and sleep, don't you think so? Because already the sleep is assured. He has given his beloved sleep. So if you lie down, you will sleep. Or you knew you know you want to pray. Lord, help me to pray. And then you listen. You see, this thing we do about hurrying off. When you pray, you just pray very quickly and you're on it. That's good. But it's not good enough. God is speaking too. That conversation with a friend. When you talk to me as your friend, and even if I'm not your friend, you know you're telling me something after you're done. You stand up and leave. The next day you want to talk to me, what will I say? Do you see that? So when you come to talk to somebody, maybe you wait and listen to what they have to say to you. But we do it to God every day. You just sit down and rattle all the things you want to talk. Bye, Lord. Do as we say. You know, just do as we say. And you move. So you're holding God accountable. Make sure you do as we say. No, as you said, not even we. As you do as I say. And you leave. slow down, take the time out. See, 30 minutes can do a lot for you in your day. 24 hours is plenty hours, Abby. But I'm saying that 30 minutes can do so much for you. I'm being serious. If you could, 15 minutes even can do a lot. If you could just sit down and listen to God and take away time, put off your phone and just stay with God. If you don't have paper Bible, buy it. Or put your phone on do not disturb if you have to, if you must read with it. Do not disturb, no notification enters your phone, right? Use it. God gave you that for, you know, to ease, to help. Number two, walk in obedience. Every yes you say to God strengthens your steps, strengthens your faith. Every time you obey God, it strengthens your faith. Every time you disobey God, it energizes you to not obey the next time. Every time you fail to obey God, the next time it makes it easier for you not to obey God. Praise the Lord. But every yes to God strengthens your step. Stay in the Word, number three. Stay in the Word. The Word of God is lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. It aligns you, it keeps you in step with God's will, with what God is saying. Stay in the Word. There is, the Word of God strengthens. The Word of God gives. Now, there are times you open scriptures and you see yourself through the light of God's Word. You just are strengthened. You just are strengthened. And when you read the Word that way, it stirs you up to pray. It just stirs you up and you begin to tell God, Lord, this is talking about me. So this has to happen in my life. It has to be my experience. It has to be my experience. Hallelujah. Be a worshiper. Be a worshiper. See, don't come to God only when you have prayer points. Don't come to God only when you have prayer points. Worship God. That is how you keep your fire burning. Then number four, is it four or now five? Guard your company. Guard your company. Guard your company. Walk with people who walk with Jesus. Walk with people who long to pray, who love what you love, who love God, who like praying. You know, you see those people that say everything, prayer, prayer, prayer. Avoid them. Praise the Lord. Those who that say everything, you are praying, pray about everything. No, they're not good company. Tell them yes, so everything is prayer. Guard your company. Don't let people come and talk down on your faith. Lastly, be heaven-minded. Be heaven-minded. You know, if you are conscious of heaven, you will walk with God. I want it to sink on everyone in TCC that we're on a mission. You see, God has said that it's a new dawn for us. And that is the fact that everywhere where he has planted us, he expects that you go out there and be Jesus. It has to be said of you like father, like son. It has to be said of you like father, like son. Like father, like son. Hallelujah. The way Jesus is the express image of God, the Holy Ghost is doing that same work. He's helping you become that same express image of God. So that as Jesus went about doing good, the Bible says he was healing everyone who was sick. He was casting out demons. He was anyone who was oppressed, he was attending to them. In the same way, God has called you to be like that. You go about doing good. If you are in TCC, everywhere you go, good has come. Everywhere you enter, good entered. Good entered. Even in Potiphar's house, good came in because Joseph came in. Hallelujah. Jesus is saying, come up hither. So imagine yourself laying hands on the sick and getting them healed. See yourself laying hand on the dead and raising them back to life. Sometimes we don't talk about these things because we've not seen them. We've not done them. That doesn't mean that it's not there. That doesn't mean that we can't do it. We can't do it. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that there is more. There is more. We are being drawn into more. You can't be a Christian year after year. You've not gotten one person saved. It's not possible. It's not right. You are born again 5 years. You've not spoken to somebody about Jesus. Well, you don't miss church. You don't miss church. The word of God reproduces. Hallelujah. It reproduces. You can't watch people get dying and going to hell and it doesn't prick your heart. No, now we are rising. We are getting out there, amen? We are getting out there. We are launching into the deep. We stay with Jesus. We listen. And as soon as you hear at his word, you move. You act on it. As soon as you hear, this is what God has said, you run with it. Brethren, it's no longer time where we are sleeping and we are enjoying our Christian, our faith, our community. That's beautiful. We have ourselves to enjoy, not so. But we're increasing in number. We are many. We will be many. We will be many. I want you to wake up to righteousness. If your heart is truly to impact people, it will send you back to the secret place. Lord, what will you have me do? Scripture says the fools wearing themselves. Why? Because they don't even know the way into the city. I've been praying, Lord, may I not weary myself because I'm doing so many things, trying to find the way by myself. Lord, show me the way. Show me the way into the city. TCC, we're territorial governing church. The Lord will show us the way into the city. No, we will not do the things. Oh, they said this one is working. No, nothing like that. And when we say that, God just gave me that revelation. When he said this is what it is for church, we are the churches. So it means that your school is a territorial governing school. Your business is a territorial governing business. That your farm is a territorial governing farm. Why? It is about you. As long as you're connected to this family and God has spoken this word for us, it is true for you in the individual places God has planted you. You are into event planning. God had said you were a territorial governing event planner. Hallelujah. You sew clothes, you were a territorial governing designer. Is it designer? Fashion designer, right? Whatever you do. So you go up there and light up the entire place. Please feel free to give out the communion elements. It's our communion today also. If you're joining online, please, you can get your communion elements. Wake up every day worshiping God. Wake up every day full of thanksgiving. See, this, I've said it again. And I'll keep saying it. Because that's what God wants us to do and wants us to hear. That we begin to want more of God. We desire more of Him. We desire more of God and we chase Him with all of our heart. Despite children, despite friends, relations, Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. Despite the distractions in his age, he walked with God. Can you be the Enoch of this generation? And despite you have to walk, you have to do all of that. You have to be a mother to your children, a father to your children, a brother to your siblings. You have to be all of that for people, a leader for the people God has sent you to. But much more than that, you're working with God. You are keeping in step with His Spirit. You know what He will have you do at every point in time. Brethren, just commit to fighting distraction. You know what your distraction is. You know what distracts you the most. You know what it is. While I encourage you to be a person that talks to God every hour, every minute of the day, I wanted to have a devoted time. Have a devoted time. Time will come that you will just be able to say, like Paul said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. He said, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's a powerful statement, and all of us should be able to make it. All of us should be able to see it. I fought the good fight. How much of God do you know? Kai, how much of God do you know? You are in the office. They are running helter-skelter. You are running helter-skelter. They are paying you 50,000. You are not even producing 10,000 naira. And they are still complaining about the 50,000. They are not even paying you well. But you have the Holy Ghost. You have the answers that that organization needs. So if you are in TCC and you are doing that, you are wrong. You are wrong. We produce times 10. We produce times 10 of our expectations. If you're an employee here and they're paying you 50,000, I expect you to produce 500,000. They're paying you 100. You are expected to produce 1 million. Don't get me producing less than. No, we go extra. We go extra. There's a place I used to go. When I open their door and I enter, I make sure I know how the door is. When I'm leaving, I make sure I keep it that way. So one day, it wasn't so close, so I also closed it the way it was. Because in my mind, maybe there's a reason they left it there. But as I was just running down the step, someone said to me, you leave a place better than you met it. Don't be doing, let me leave it the way they left it. Leave it better. Leave it better. Leave it better than you met it. Leave it better than you met it. You meet somebody, their life should not be worse. You leave them better. Everybody that meets you, should their life should be better than when they met you. No, it's not. They are still the same way. They are still smoking the same 10 wraps they are smoking. Their life should be better. Everybody who meets you, meets Jesus. Because as he was, who are you in this world? Whoever met Jesus, whoever met Jesus and remained the same. Even the ones that didn't give their lives to him had questions. They had their religion was shaking. Their thought process. They kept thinking, what if? Kept asking questions. It tells you that doubt, the shaking that happened to them. They kept bringing up questions because this man has rattled what we believe in. It should be the same. Even if they've not accepted, but there should be that you are challenging what they believe. Nobody who meets you should be left the same way. We leave people better. We leave people better. So God is saying, come walk with me. Come walk with me. Come walk with me. Come walk with me. Peter, meeting him, he said, it's no longer about the fish. I'm going to teach you how to fish, man. The same principle. Add the what? Father, help us. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. You know, if you're going to write an exam, no matter how hard it is for you to understand, you'll be doing your best to study. You will try your best to make sure you read. If you understand that there is no time, there is a lot to do, you will wake up and you will pray. You pray for your siblings. You pray for people in the church. You pray for that person you know. You wake up and you will study the Bible. You will look unto Jesus. You say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. You can pray. You can pray. You can give your strength to it. You can give your energy to it. The grace to pray is in praying. The grace to study is in studying. If you want to pray more, start praying. If you want to study more, start studying. If you want to pray longer in tongues, start praying longer. Just start praying in tongues. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Start praying. The beauty of praying in tongues is in long tongues and in consistent tongues. The beauty of it is in praying song in tongues and praying consistently in tongues. Beauty of praying is in praying, staying long in prayer. Staying long in prayer and praying consistently. Father, this journey you've set us on, help us, Lord. Lord, I know for a fact that things will always come in the opposite direction. Distractions.
They may seem like good things, Father. They may seem like walks of life. They may seem like things that will put food on the table. They may seem like helping people even. They may seem like activities, you know, go there, be there, every activity, every church activity, whatever. It may seem like being everywhere. But Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to know what you will have us do at every point in time and do it. Lord, help us. And for as many here who are making commitments this morning, then yes, I'll pray 10 minutes, so time. I'll stay so time and just listen. I'll pray 15 minutes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, uphold them. They will not get weary in well-doing. In the name of Jesus. Because he that must come to God must come, believing that he is, and is the rewarder of they that diligently seek him. So as long as you are diligently seeking him, even if it's for a few minutes, you are committing to it, God rewards you with grace to tarry even further. Lord, thank you. It is you working in us both to will and to do what that which pleases you. Father, we thank you. For as many who had given up, Lord, there are places where they had committed to and they had forgotten about it. They just, because they faltered, Lord, I ask you for grace upon them right now. You are strengthened to go back and stand. Before your master, you are able to stand. He keeps you from falling. Go back and make that, and start from where you stopped. That plan, that Bible plan you started and you left off. Go back to it. Go back to it. Just continue. Continue. God is calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. He's calling you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give thanks. Be thou glorified. We walk with Jesus. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. Everywhere we go, we reproduce 100-fold in the name of Jesus. In our workplaces, we reproduce 100-fold. In our conversations with people, we are productive. In the name of Jesus, we leave people who meet us better than we leave them better than they met us. In the name of Jesus, everything we touch is blessed. We leave things better. We leave a place better. We leave a place better. In the name of Jesus, we are light and we shine forth. We are indeed the salt of the earth, and we never lose our savour. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. The communion elements in your hands, they are blessed. Father, thank you. Thank you for the body of Jesus that was broken for our sake. Thank you, Lord, for the by his stripes we were healed. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus went through this earth so we can see how the Father is and how it is possible for us to do the same. Oh, we thank you. So today, Lord, we do this in remembrance of the sacrifices of Jesus, that he went through all of this so we can walk this earth victoriously. We give thanks in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and take the flesh of Jesus. Go on and drink the blood. Thank you, Lord. 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 We give thanks in Jesus' name.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.